This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you for being with us this afternoon. I have got one of the most exciting guests with me this afternoon, and we are really going to talk about a journey that I think we've all come from, but it's so important for us to understand that this journey has many setbacks, but those setbacks are for comebacks. And I really believe that Johan van Schalkwyk is actually got an incredible, remarkable journey that he's been on from the secular world back to Jesus Christ and to become who he has become now. Mm-hmm. And he's an amazing speaker. He's actually contributed to an incredible book. I'm actually carrying it around with me all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's got so many amazing testimonies in. And he's going to share his testimony with us this afternoon. But we're going to play out with something now because I really don't want to waste any further time because he's got so much to share with us. So thank you so much for being with us this afternoon, Johan. I think that people are going to be so encouraged that doesn't matter how many times you go back and fall back, that God has really got a purpose and a plan, and he never takes his hand off our lives. So I'm really excited to hear what you're going to share with us.
Thank you very much for the opportunity and the privilege.
So we're going to quickly play out with a track, and I can tell you now, we will be back straight after this. Thank you so much for being with us and staying tuned with us. We have got Johan van Schalkwyk in the studio with us, and you are in e-commerce, if I understand. What is it, the industry that you're in? Because I see you've got a huge
career
experience. And you've married, and you've got beautiful children, but it's not always been this great. Yeah. So please tell us your story, because you've really been part of an amazing book called Secular Journeys with Jesus Christ to Become. And the fact that you contributed to this and really being very vulnerable and very transparent was very appealing for me, because men don't like to do that. It's not normal. So you can tell me, where did the enemy start coming for you, because he knew who you were going to become?
Yeah. I think that's a very, very important statement there, because it dawned on me yesterday. It's something that my mother said a while ago, and I don't think I put this in the book specifically, but she mentioned that she fell pregnant with me while she was on contraceptives. So I was, technically speaking, I was not planned according to the world. I was not meant to be according to the world, but God definitely had a different plan. And I think from there on, it was a battle. My parents divorced when I was about 2 years old. And throughout my high school career, and my young adult life, so to speak, I tried to reach out to my father, and we had good times and bad times, as you would have. But there were four instances where he was dealing with a root of rejection as well. And things that I would say and do would impact him in such a way that he would manifest and end up saying to me, but he rejects me as his son, and he doesn't acknowledge me as his son anymore. And that, of course, bolstered a very deep root of rejection. So that's it sprouted a deep-rooted insecurity of feeling that I'm not good enough. I always need to perform, but I'm never going to be able to achieve. So the pressure to achieve was just so much that when I ended up writing exams or having to actually really perform to the expectations, then I'd fall short, because, of course, I'm trying out of my own power. Yes. So I think that brings back to a lot of the experiences that I've had, where trying to build a career in a specific line, and then for some reason I've either become arrogant or become so insecure that I end up sabotaging it, consciously, subconsciously.
That is an amazing word, because we do that all our lives through.
Definitely.
Thank you for sharing
that.
Yeah,
no, definitely. I mean, part of my journey is realizing that I'm not a victim, and getting out of that victim triangle mindset. That has helped a lot to get to that space to say, okay, but you know what? I need to take responsibility for my life now, and I need to change. And as we mentioned a little bit earlier, part of that journey is realizing that, yes, I am now a new creation in Christ, and my identity has changed, but my flesh, my man, the person that is interacting with this world, is still under subject to my authority, and I need to change how it interacts within this world. And that's, I think, what it makes a big struggle, or made the biggest struggle, was the biggest struggle for me throughout my life, is because I'm hearing that as soon as you accept Christ, then your life has changed from a very young age. And my mindset is, okay, well, now everything is different now, and I've had this magic pull. So now my life has changed. So now I can expect things to just kind of happen for me. And the reality is, no, your mindset's changed because now you've been exposed to the truth. But now it's your choice to start accepting that. And I think that's the big thing that people miss about faith. Mm-hmm. You cannot exercise faith if you do not choose to believe. It's a choice. You need to choose to believe. Then only will you start seeing the difference in your life. But as long as you're going to choose not to believe, you're not going to start seeing those differences manifest in your life. And that's taken me an up and down journey, as we've mentioned earlier, from a very young age, as you'd read in the book, about 8 years old. I was blessed to receive the ability to speak in tongues. And that caused, of course, a lot of confusion, because it's not a gift that a lot of people want to acknowledge even now.
And a child as well.
Yes.
How to actually work it out.
Yeah.
What is this?
Exactly.
But you've got it, and you're not spiritually mature enough to host it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And if you're not nurtured in a comforting and a nurturing environment where people will allow you to experience and grow within the skill set, as anybody with a new skill set needs that environment to be able to grow, and then you end up trying to figure it on your own, but you also shy away from it. So for a long time, it was something that when I was comfortable and felt that I'm in a comfortable and safe space, then I'd start speaking in tongues. But as soon as I was in among people, whether it be Christians or not, I would be too shy to speak in tongues. Mm-hmm. And even today, when we have the opportunity to speak in tongues, I would first test the environment to see, is this really an environment to conduce, or is this going to unlock trials and tribulations unnecessarily? Mm-hmm. And it's, once again, it draws me back into that victim mindset, thinking, oh no, but if I'm going to trigger the enemy, then he's going to attack me.
Yeah, you sort of just like, yeah, just leave me alone, don't look at me.
Exactly, exactly. Let's hide in the corner.
I think a lot of us do that. That's why we keep retreating,
yeah,
you know, and coming out of our fear because of what God has actually got planned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's a lot of things I can still recall. Still recall that I was in... I can't recall exactly what the age group was, but I specifically said to my mother, no, I keep on feeling that the more I try to move towards God, things are always in my way, and I keep on stumbling and I keep on falling, and I just couldn't. The scripture specifically that says the righteous will fall 7 times, but he will always raise up again. I didn't understand that. I didn't know what that means. I might have heard it here or there, but it didn't become a reality. It's only in my latter years that really started to make sense, and I started to understand that you are going to face trials and tribulations, and you are not always going to succeed in it. Sometimes you're just going to fall back in the perception that it's in your strength. And when you do that, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment that you realize, sorry, God, it's not me, you repent, as was Jesus' first sermon, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. As soon as you get to the perspective of, I need to repent and realize that this is in Christ's power, not in my power, then things start to change again. Then your mindset. So
it's like reprogramming.
That's
it.
Exactly.
It's like really reprogramming old set behaviors that we incline to go back to what we're familiar with.
That's it.
And formulas that work for us, yeah, in thinking and action and all that, because we so want to be safe and, like you said, guarded.
Yeah.
And it says we need to guard our hearts, but we need to trust Him in, yes, guarding. He helps us. He gives us the wisdom and the guidance how to go forward.
Amen. Definitely. And I think that's what part of what dictated a lot of the wrong choices I made, especially from a young age, because I didn't see it modeled for me. I didn't see anybody living this lifestyle. You'd hear of people like Billy Graham, and you think, okay, well, that's what's one in a million.
And not me.
Yeah, that's not me. So that caused me to try to emulate a lot of the world. So it was easy for me then to say, oh, well, I'm not getting it right in any way, so why even try? And then try to assimilate with the rest of the world, because you just want that comfort. You just want to be loved and accepted. And you keep on believing the lie that you need to perform in order to get that acceptance. So when people started to accept me in the wrong circles, when I was drinking, when I was the clown of the party, when everybody started to say, oh, wow, well, look at him. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's acting crazy, and get that type of attention. Then you think, okay, well, this is where I belong, because now you're getting the affirmation that you're looking for. And it's only in latter years, once again, that I realized, but that's not the affirmation you're looking for.
It's not fulfilling.
It's not fulfilling at all. It's not sustainable. Mm.
It's not sustainable. You've got to keep performing in that area as well.
Exactly.
Being that person.
Exactly.
Which is very difficult.
Yeah. I mean, even having the revelation that it's not a performance, but it's a relationship, and that you actually need to work on your relationship. But it's not a matter of you going to go do works and then you get fulfilled. It's a matter of actually go to God, go sit at his feet, and then be filled.
And be filled.
Exactly.
I love that.
Yeah. No, definitely. Because I come across it so often where people come to me and they say, like, but I've been doing this and I've been doing that. But I'm just not experiencing it anymore. And then the moment I hear they're doing, I realize, but that's
flesh.
Yeah, that's it. You might have received the mandate, but you're not going to get to the source. And I think that's why, for me personally, why God has said, but listen, yeah, it's not a matter of come to me once a day. It's a matter of the moment you step your foot out somewhere and there's a fraction of silence, ask me what is the next step. Because
you're profound.
If you're waiting just once a day to get instruction, you're going to miss it halfway through because you're going to think you need to do it in your own power. Mm. And it's very humbling because, like I said, there's a lot of experiences that I've had in the past where I try to perform. So I'm well-read in certain regards. I've got a broad general knowledge. You asked earlier, what do I do for a living in that regards? Is I'm busy dabbling in software development, but I actually come from a marine engineering and mechanical engineering background.
Oh, my goodness.
So
that is why the formulas work for you in your head. You like the 1 + 1 means that. And so that is why a person, we men, especially men with high intellect like you, end up getting disconnected emotionally and can't have those relationships, not even with themselves.
Yeah.
And that is where men fall short, and then in their 30s it starts backlashing on them. So I love what you're sharing. Keep going.
Thank you. A very interesting fact, and we spoke earlier about ADHD. So I struggled at school a lot. For me it wasn't very stimulating, so anything that would take my attention, I would go for it. So in matric, I was advised to go to maths literacy. It gives my age a bit away there. But so I was advised to go to maths literacy, and I refused because I said, even though I might not test well, something in me said, I understand this well enough so that I would retain enough of this information to be able to apply it someday, even though I know I'm not going to pass on an exam on the same level that you guys are expecting. And in one way, there was a rebellion towards the world saying that I will not conform to the world society.
They already.
But at the same time, there was ignorance in the sense that I need to conform in some way to be able to impact, because I need to be able to be relatable. And I struggled with that for a very long time, because I started realizing there's a rebellious side and I need to rebel against the society and the structure that we're at. But at the same time, I need to accept that God has got a plan and there is structure. You just need to find the right structure within that. So this journey where I went on, where I ended up getting lost in the world, getting into drugs and alcohol and just trying to be the life of the show. Like I said, very unfulfilling, very unsatisfying, waking up with a hangover and asking yourself, but why am I here? That led to deeper depression. So I ended up being...
Because you're actually failing yourself.
Exactly.
That is the guilt, the guilt. We live in that self-condemnation.
Exactly.
And that is the pit that we can't really get out of many times.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And it was difficult, because then at some stages, people would say, but you were so lively and you were so this and you were so that. And now all of a sudden, you don't want to get out of this dark room. Exactly. And I'd be out for 2-3 days. Where I just don't want to speak to somebody or anybody. I don't want to simulate with anybody. I just literally want to be in this dark room and contemplating how would it be to end my life. And part of that journey where I, like I mentioned, met my wife, she's the very logical person. And she's much more ordered and structured than what I am. That's why I find the statement interesting in regards to the intelligence aspect, because I'm actually very emotional.
Okay.
And it took me a long time to accept that. because I wanted to be so logical. I wanted to be the guy that has all the facts.
Has got it all together. Yeah. It looks like it's got it together.
Exactly.
And not the fact that you are actually embracing the beautiful emotional side of you. That's a man thing, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
It's what society dictates for us to walk in.
Cowboys don't cry.
Exactly. I think that's a great deception that we, unfortunately, well, fortunately as men, are starting to realize, but we need to shake it off.
Yes.
And
it's okay.
Yeah.
I think Uncle Angus was one of the first guys to really bring that home to people, that we need to love and hug and cry and do whatever we need to do as men. And I think that has now really spread beautifully over our nation.
Definitely. And men are starting to wake up. They're starting to rise up. We had the privilege of meeting Jock just now.
Yes.
And I mean, the impact that he's making just by sharing and ministering into men's lives, awakening them. Because I know because of his background, a lot of people think, oh, you know, but he's hard and militaristic in certain aspects. But if you get to know him, you'll see there's a tenderness and a kindness that he has also learned.
That's right.
And I think that's what really touches men's hearts, is the fact that this strong man, this man that has got this reputation of being in wars and that has actually been in combat, can be empathetic.
Empathetic.
Can be in touch with these emotions, yeah.
That is a beautiful end to that story, because Jacques has actually got a program on he's a contributor to our radio station and very valued one. Mm-hmm. So please go and look out for his podcasts. He's on our regularly on our radio station. And this is 7 to 9 a.m. guys, and I want you to encourage people to go download the app, because our app is just next level, because you can take that app and you can go bunderbashing with it in the wild, and you'll get to hear us because we are an AM station. So that is the beauty about it. So I just want to encourage you people. You're welcome to WhatsApp us if there's anybody that you would like to get to know, our guests, or anything about us, or we can get to know you as well. And on 081-729-1657, our Telegram number is exactly the same, 081-729-1657. And you can SMS us on 37988, and normal rates apply to that. And then go on to Facebook Live. We had recently had Johan just for a brief moment on Facebook Live, and it was so incredible and so exciting. And then you get to see, meet our presenters, and you get to know a little bit of interaction. Go and like us and see what we are talking about if you've missed out on a particular program. And then we've got a new telephone number. I'd love to mention that. It's 021-180-5744. Please remember that. It's 021-180-5744. So please, we got a counseling department, and you can just press option 1. We can help you, guide you, pray for you, whatever your needs are. So please do not hesitate to call us. And at this time of the year, we just want to really encourage you to listen to amazing testimonies like this. And I'm sure you've got a son, a brother, a husband that's possibly walked a similar journey, or even yourself for that matter. And so we're going to join Johan straight after our break. So we're going to play out with something amazing, and then we'll see you straight after that. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. I'm Renate Marburg, and we have got an incredible guest in the studio this afternoon, and I think he's got an incredible disposition on him. He's just so captivating when you listen to his journey, and yet it's so real and so honest and so transparent. And Johan, you've really shared a story of being really set apart at an early age, but you didn't understand the journey until Holy Spirit really revealed himself to you. How did that look?
It was a challenge in the concept that I mentioned earlier, the magic pool scenario, thinking that things now need to happen for me. And I can recall trying in my own understanding to make this work. And it never seemed to work. There was one stage specifically where I was just finished with school, trying to impress mom, going to church with her again. Experiencing God's presence and feeling his comfort and acceptance. then actually being baptized for the first time, and well, not that I've been baptized again, but
yeah,
and out of that, the hunger being there and people recognizing the hunger, so much so that the church that I was baptized offered me a scholarship for studying theology. And unfortunately, because of my perception of how things are supposed to work, I started asking questions that they were not comfortable answering, and religion started to come into play, so much so that they eventually asked me to leave. And for the record, I don't blame them at all. I don't harbor anything against them. I forgive them for what they've done, and I understand exactly that if I was in the same boat and had the same perception as what they had, I probably would have done the same thing. Because I did not set a good precedent. I did not set a precedent of accountability and of looking to ask the questions in the right way, if I can put it that way. For me, I think it came across as the fact that I'm trying to find fault in what they're teaching, not trying to understand it better, which the intention was, I want to understand. But the way I carried myself was interrogative. And I think that that's what puts people a lot of times off, is when people do come, they come with questions to try and justify what they know. So it seems like it's an interrogation. But when you can look past that and realize, but they're still asking, they're still hungry to know the truth, and look past the emotion and start to say, okay, but why are you really asking? What is the intention? Are you trying to validate that which you're trying, which you know, or are you trying to really understand? And if you can make people aware in the sense of guiding their questions to the sense that they don't need to validate what they know, but to rather guide them to understanding there's a deeper truth than what they currently understand. I think that's where the
miscommunication comes.
Exactly.
And misunderstanding. Because I think, I'm telling you now, you're really speaking loud and clearly now to me as well, because we do come up against certain things within a church, and then we end up church hopping and just leaving.
That's it.
And that is the disaster, and that is when we say we've been hurt in the church, but yeah, we've also been not taking accountability and responsibility for our part in it. So this is such a profound truth, because so many people have left the church for exactly this, because we don't want to be the kumbaya follower of Jesus Christ. We are asking, we're wanting to know. I had the same journey, so and must. My son, the same journey, and ended up being a total detour in his life, mm-hmm. and myself included. So we just need to know that this is truth. Mm. This is real life. Yeah. And I think both parties, churches, need to embrace the questions and accept and guide. And then at the same time, you need to understand why you're asking the questions, and it's not picking, it's wanting to understand.
That's it.
If I'm correct.
That's it. And if you look in from a psychological perspective, anybody that's sitting with a deep-rooted rejection wound is always trying to actually read the quote this morning, which packaged it very nicely for me to be able to relay it now. But people that come from a rejection wound, they always try to validate what they know, where people that come from security always try to actually gain knowledge to find out.
Teachable.
Exactly. Yes. To find out what they don't know. Mm-hmm. So insecurity sprouts a sense of validating what is already known, mm-hmm. versus security is trying to find out what you don't know, if I can put it that way.
That is brilliant.
So, and unfortunately not mine, I can't take credit for it.
I didn't read. No, it, but so I'm saying I get it. It's such an incredible, as you say, packages perfectly.
So coming from a place like that, when we start approaching people start approaching us with questions, and it seems like they're hostile because they're trying to find a flaw in your arguments and your statements. Understand that they're coming from a place where they're actually being challenged in their faith. They're actually being challenged in their perception. So what you're doing is heading in the right direction. You're hitting the right marks. But now you need to do what Jesus did. And the beautiful example what Jesus did for me is, when Lazarus died, he said that he's going to tarry because he was busy with something. And then when he arrived, he was dead, and he mourned with the people, even though he knew he was going to raise him from the dead, that Father God was going to raise him from the dead. But he mourned with them. Now, my perception was, why would he mourn with them if he knew the good news that was going to come?
Yes.
And the revelation I had was the fact that he's mourning with them so he can empathize and he can relate with them to show, listen, yeah, I understand what you're experiencing. And for you, this is a reality. This is what you are embracing. I can feel your pain.
Yes.
I know what you're experiencing. I feel it too. But God has got more in plan and more in place that is still to come that you need to embrace. And yes, this that you're experiencing is reality, because nobody can tell you what you're feeling is false. What you're feeling, that is your reality, and you set your reality. Mm-hmm. But what the Word of God does is it says, you need to transcend the current reality. You need mm-hmm. to transcend where you find yourself, how you see yourself now, so that you can go elevated into the heavenly, so to speak. And it seems so mystical when we say it like that, but all it actually is simply to say.
It is mystical. It's a mystery. He works in mysterious ways. I mean, he even confirms that within his word.
Definitely. But what I was saying is, in that regards, is we tend to over mysticize it in
yes.
the sense of it's unattainable. And
I hear what you're saying.
And what I want to kind of bring home to it is the fact that what God is simply saying is, you have been designed for more, and you have been designed to transcend your problems. You're not meant to stay in your problems. You're meant to actually overcome your problems.
Mm.
You were given dominion over the earth, not the earth dominion over you. So the more you're going to sit in the mud, the more it's going to feel like, oh, wait, the world is overwhelming.
That.
Exactly. But you have the ability to get out of the mud through the blood of Christ to be able to transcend your reality as it is now. But it starts with actually anchoring yourself within the Word. So we are
that is your springboard.
That's it. So we currently, the way that I perceived it was, we're sitting in the world and we're trying to figure out how all of this works and how it's supposed to be together. And then we see things work and we think, okay, well, that's how the gears work. So the mechanism is functioning now. So this is the right way of doing it. And then we get down a certain path, and then all of a sudden the mechanism stops working. And we're thinking, but what did I get wrong? What's happening here? This is supposed to work. This is the reality.
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of people like to say, oh, but if we came out with a manual. We did. That's the Bible.
Yes.
God gave us the Bible.
Just get back to it.
Exactly. So
go back to the instructions.
Exactly. If we go and we study the Bible and we truly delve into it and we get to know Jesus, which is the Word, it's been confirmed from the beginning. John came to confirm it again in the New Testament. Jesus is the Word. He is the life. He is the truth. If we accept that, once again, coming back to the faith aspect, if we accept that the Bible is the ultimate truth and that anything that deviates from the Bible is at the moment is deception, is a distortion of reality, then we can get to a point where you start realizing, but okay, if I follow this guideline, this is the mechanisms that actually work, and start walking within that, then we start seeing, okay, but even when trials and tribulations come, these things actually still carry me through. These things actually allow me to transcend the stages of, oh, well, I'm going through a dark ditch now. But don't worry, the valley always has a peak. You always go through. So for me personally, coming from a place of where I was rejected by man and trying to please man and God touching my life, I started to realize, but okay, I need to make the choice to say, I'm taking responsibility for me, because the primary focus is not me and man, it's me and God. He created me to be in relationship with him. Not me to be in relationship with everybody else and then him, or through everybody else and then him. So in other words, it's not my pastor that's going to say, oh, but God says you need to do this. No, God needs to speak to me in my heart, and a pastor will come and confirm it. Somebody else will come and confirm what is being said. But the truth first is, he speaks to me in my heart, because that's where relationship is.
Yes, yes. Because I want us to continue with that afterwards, because that is going to be our final where God has a purpose and a plan. Why would he use the word plan? So this is where it's so significant what you're saying now is about that relationship, which we bypass all the time.
That's it.
Because we go via man.
That's it.
So we can join Johan straight after this, because this is really key for me and a very profound truth. So just stay with us, and I think he's going to really nail it in this next session with us. And thank you so much so far, Johan. I'm really captivated by this. I'm like just forgetting the time, actually. But we have to take a break and pay the bills, and we will see straight after this. Family and friends, we are so privileged to have Johan van Schalkwyk in the studio with us. He has got such an incredible journey from really understanding a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because I think that is actually the real key here of transcending into the new man that he's become. And he's a very seasoned speaker, and he goes out and he ministers to men, and he is an amazing guy who follows Jesus Christ fully now with his wife and his beautiful children. And, you know, being a father obviously is also another story, Johan, that really kicked your into gear and saying, this is it. No more falling back. This is now way forward. How do I do that, Lord? And Holy Spirit really gave you a real launching pad of his purpose and his plan for you. So please continue with your amazing story.
Definitely. I think that's a very good point. In the book, I specifically mentioned that key turning points was when I met my wife and trying to impress her, going back to God. And with my firstborn that was born, I had this mindset of, I'm not going to make the age of 25. I thought I will be dead by then because of my lifestyle. And when my firstborn was born, I truly realized, okay, well, I am older than 25 now, for one. And number two is, this kid needs an example. I didn't have the example. I went to go looking for it at all the wrong places. I need to figure this out and figure it out quickly so that I can leave a legacy for him, at least to at least
That's
have something to emulate.
Legacy.
And that comes back to this relationship aspect, because I truly went and said, but okay, God, if you're real, then you are speaking to me. If your word is real, then these things are going to start manifesting. And if they don't, it means that I'm missing something. So somewhere I need clarity. And I was about three years ago, I had the privilege of going to a men's camp with a group called Today's God is First. So these are men that come gather every Friday morning between 6 and 7. And then they'll have a guest speaker to come and share their testimony, their experiences of their life. And so I was encouraged to go and join the group. And just to go and listen. And then they had the men's camp, and Jock was actually facilitating, speaking of him, that specific session. And he was talking about the tabernacle and the four walls and what they represent. And we were specifically focusing on the three different aspects of your life, your personal life, your professional life, and ministry. And I can still recall saying to God, but I'm not involved in ministry. I have no desire to be involved with ministry. There's nothing
How
for me there.
How are you going to be used?
What do you want from me in this regard? And I experienced my spirit, God saying, you need to repent. First he said to me, go to the East Wall, which represents the leadership wall. And I said, but what am I doing in leadership? I don't have anything to do with ministry. And he said, you need to repent. And I said, okay, but of what? And he reminded me, when I was approximately 13 years old, I said to him, I never want to become a pastor, because in my mind, pastors were just deceivers. They were the devils themselves. Because I put my trust in man, I didn't realize men can also fail. Mm-hmm. And, out of that,
that's good.
When I repented of that, and I basically forgave these mentors that I personally assigned as mentors because of my standards, not according to God's standards, the dam broke, and emotions came flooding forth, and there was truly an experience of Holy Spirit just comforting me in that presence. And I experienced directly after that God saying, now, because you said, you made the statement, and this is why the power of your words are so powerful.
And he can lock you in and bind you.
Exactly. Hey? That's exactly what happened. He said to me, you cut off your ability for any leadership roles. That is why you are not able to move forward in any professional capacity. And this brings back to why I struggle so much with my career in the past, always finding fault with the leadership, always thinking that I can be better. I'm better. I've got a better idea of doing. I know better. That arrogance, that pride. And when that happened, it was literally within months, things started happening where I started getting involved with more ministries, actually bringing my testimony, which in my opinion, I thought is such a small thing that actually happened compared to people that have experienced these amazing miracles. But the point is, and I think this is what a lot of people tend to not realize, is when you start seeing physical manifestations of God's glory, it's because the call was missed the first couple of times. Because if he needs to give you signs and wonders to remind you of who he is, you've completely missed the creation around you. You have not opened yourself up to be able to receive from him. And that comes back to that aspect of faith, understanding that faith is a choice. You need to choose to believe before he's going to start manifesting his presence in your life. And he said to the Pharisees specifically that you're looking for signs and wonders, but the only sign that you will see is the sign of Jonah, which is him being crucified and being resurrected again. And still they did not realize that. And I mean, that revelation opened a lot of perspective for me, so much so that even though I was now putting myself, making myself available to ministry and becoming part of the usher team, and I'm just making myself...
Just serving.
Just
in a serving capacity.
Exactly.
Which is important.
Exactly. I got a revelation that I was still judging the leaders that I'm subjecting myself to. And I'm thinking that they're not saying these things, not doing things right. And then one day I specifically ask God, but what's going on? I mean, they're supposed to be a sign. Your word says that we need to honor these people that are in our leadership. And he said it's because people like you are not praying for them. They are being attacked. They are being brutally attacked in the spirit. And you are aiding in that attack by judging them.
You also part of the army up against them.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
And when I realized that,
not who we are.
That's exactly it. It's that pride aspect again. And when I realized that, I actually went up to the leadership and I repented and I said, you know what? I've been wrong. I've been judging you and I've been thinking the fault is alone your fault. And I realized I haven't been taking up my responsibility because God did not say the individual needs to do this.
You weren't a team player at that stage.
He said we are a body. And a body cannot function together if it's fighting against. A house divided cannot stand.
Sure.
And when I did that, things started happening. I started becoming part of the cell group leadership without real prompting.
Signing
to
up for it. Yeah.
I was fortunate enough that the leader of the usher team, he was blessed to go to another ministry. And I mean, I was, in my opinion, one of the more recent recruits, so to speak. So I didn't think I even qualified to be considered, but he came up and said, listen, yeah, I recognize something in you. I want to hand it over to you specifically. And initially I was like, but am I ready? And God said, I wouldn't have brought it to you if I didn't think you were ready. And it's humbling because...
And you're still an usherer for the kingdom.
100%.
By your testimony. You are ushering men that are walking the same road or women walking the same road. So you're still the usher of his word. It's amazing. Amen.
And that's the whole point. And I think that's what Paul specifically wrote. And he's saying that every time if you look at him, his testimonies, he says he's the least of the disciples. And then he says he's the least of the congregation. Then he's the least of all the people. Because somewhere he started realizing that the less he is and the more
the
Christ.
The greater impact he has.
Exactly. And slowly but surely that's starting to dawn on me that I need to stop trying to impress people and just allow Holy Spirit to flow through me. And if I get it wrong, I get it wrong.
This is about him.
Exactly.
And the thing is, what I love what you're saying now is so profound. I can't deal with it. It is so where we have to be so less that they don't see us as the one. That is what I try and do here. That's why I just love having guests like you on my program, because this is where we see Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ rising up through the men and women that he has picked and chosen, so that you people can usher and navigate and give guidance and not be arrogant to a resisting world, but to be inviting. And that ushering is bringing them in with his love and his peace and his comfort, and not being Johann von Schalkwyk, but the host of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Is that not beautiful? I would love to have more conversation, and time is just catching up with us. Johann, you have got a beautiful testimony.
Thank you.
Honestly, it is so refreshing to hear that men can come to this point in their lives and really come alongside the Holy Spirit and allow him to work through you. So I just pray that the Lord will just use you mightily for his kingdom, that you have great success in all areas of your life, that you will be used mightily for his purpose, and he'll have a perfect plan for you and your family. And so I just want to encourage you people. There are 17 testimonies in this amazing book. It's called Secular Journeys with Jesus Christ to Become. And Johann is actually one of the contributors. And it's with Amanda Poole. And she has an amazing link, but go and look it up. I cannot tell you now. You're welcome to contact me, and then I will give you the link.
So Amanda,
You've got it.
Yeah,
yes, please share it.
Go to Amanda Paul on a website, Amanda Paul specifically.
Okay, great.
And then she's got the various links where she does her publications or, in this case, actually sells her books.
Books and her blogs and everything else that goes with it. Hey?
And Amanda Paul, that's you today.
Please go. She's an amazing woman of God, and she's really got such a mandate that she's giving guys like these an opportunity to share their testimonies.
Amen.
So we just want to encourage you. We'll soon let you know that you're welcome to get our podcasts. Go onto our app and you'll get the podcasts if you miss out on this live program. And we will see you next week. And take care. Love on your family. Look after yourself. Take care. And allow Holy Spirit to show you the way forward. And we're looking forward to seeing you next week, same time. Goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.